in life or church, and that's mental health. I think the other topic we don't talk enough about is sexuality. And I think the reason why we don't talk about these two topics is because it's fairly personal. Sexuality, we understand that's something very intimate between a husband and a wife. It's in a bedroom, it's behind a closed door. We don't talk about that. But mental health and sexuality makes up an enormous part of our lives. And yet we never ever talk about that. So this morning, I want to try and talk to you about mental health. Now, part of the problems is that a guest speaker is supposed to do one of two things. He's supposed to come and encourage you and stir you up, or he's going to come and poke you or irritate you or do something strange. I'm going to do the second one. And hopefully, not hopefully, I do trust that God will do the work. Because it's impossible for me to come and share all of this topic. So, C.S. Lewis wrote the following. He says, mental health, and now I need to, C.S. Lewis says the following. I think you must do, there's one place where I will click, the rest you can just follow me. That will be easier. It says, mental pain is less dramatic than physical pain, but it's more common and also more hard to bear. The frequent attempt to conceal mental pain increases the burden. It's easier to say my tooth is aching than to say my heart is broken. So towards the end of last year, we were still away on holiday, I began to develop a little bit of a toothache. And it continued and it continued. Long story short, I ended up having, I think, 3 or 4 dentist appointments, root canal, the whole story, over a period of about 2-3 months. And in that time, I can remember clearly telling every single person who wanted to look at me long enough that my tooth is aching. I cannot remember once in that time telling someone that I'm struggling. I'm not feeling so well today. Today is not a good mental health day. Because why? Because it's personal. And I think sometimes we don't even ourselves realize that we find ourselves in that space. So in John 3:1-2, chapter 1 and 2, it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. See, this is a fundamental principle with God. That when He comes into our lives, He redeems us, He washes us, He cleanses us. But part of that process is that our soul would prosper. And then John comes and he writes and he says that everything else in your life should prosper as your soul is prospering. But what if my soul is not prospering? What if I'm honest with myself for a moment and say, I'm barely hanging on. I don't really have the strength for tomorrow. So we sang I can't remember the first song we sang, but the second song we sang, I was actually telling my wife, even this morning still, I'm not sure what message I'm supposed to bring this morning. And then finally, when we sang that first song, I thought, okay, I might have picked the right one. We sang about laying our burdens down. We sang about the fact that this is who God is. This is what church is supposed to be. It's a place where we can come and we can acknowledge, I have burdens. I have some struggles. I have some issues. And this is the place where I can lay them down and I can find some healing. Second song we sang about the miracle maker, the way maker, the one who breaks through. You know, that implies that there's a struggle. That implies there's a problem. That implies that there is resistance. That implies that my mental health, I need to struggle and wrestle with it. And towards the end of that song we sang, He's the one who wipes away the tears. So this morning, even though none of you maybe realized it, we began to sing about mental health. And the fact that God wants to deal and speak about those things. Think about these topics that we would preach about, and I hope Mossy preaches about them, that you are loved. Isn't that the foundation of most of our mental health struggles? Am I really loved? Am I accepted? Am I okay? Does God really like me the way just as I am? What about finding joy? What about being at peace? I think one of my favorites is, what about being guilt-free? When you sing the songs that His blood washed me clean, when Mozzie preaches that fiery message saying that His blood of Jesus has washed you clean, when you get to next week, do you really still feel guilt-free? Or is there some issues from the past that might still be haunting you, keeping you back? Don't worry, grudge-free, the things we think about. All of these topics are actually mental health topics. They deal with the struggles that we find inside of ourselves. So I want to tell you a story. I was maybe about 10 years old, and contrary to what my tummy would say at the moment, I was a fairly good athlete. Not brilliant, but I was maybe just not the best in my school. And then you go to some other meetings and you realize that that doesn't count for anything. So when you're in your school, you think you're the best, and then suddenly you get to some other places. So this particular year, I did fairly well. I came in second in the Interbond. I don't know what Interbond is in English. So I reached the athletics relay team for that year to go to that meeting. So athletics and relays work like this. You need three things. You need speed. That's the easy one. Secondly, you need skill. You need to be able to pass that baton and receive that baton. That's a bit of a skill while you're running. And then thirdly, there's also strategy. Who do you get to run where? Because if you read the rules of the relay race, even though it says 4 by 100 meter, there's a technicality in the rule that says that 100 meter is in the middle of the place where you can receive the baton. You can actually receive it 10 meters earlier or 10 meters later. Which means if you set up your relay team correctly, the first guy can run 90 meters and the second guy can run 120 meters. Now here's where the strategy comes in. Who do you think should run the 120 meters? The slowest guy or the fastest guy? Fastest guy. And there's different ways that they would set up their teams. Most people will let the fastest guy run the last leg, because the idea is then he can catch up if you fall behind. But this particular year, the coach decided that the fastest guy would run the second leg, the 120 meters, and me being the second fastest would run the last leg. And that's the way we practice. And then on the day of the meeting, they come up to me and they say, we don't think you're fast enough to run the last leg. What if we are just behind and you're not able to catch up? We think the fastest guy should run that last leg. Now, for those of you, maybe the men can remember the name Kasper Steyn. He used to play rugby for the Bulls. He had a famous victory against the Lions a number of years ago. That was the guy I had to run against. And he was a South African champion in athletics. Now I had to say, sorry, guy, I can't. And I had to say to them, listen, I've never, ever in my life given a baton to anyone, because in my school I'm always the fastest, and the fastest always runs the last leg in my school. I didn't pick this way of doing it. I can't do it. Now all the pressure is on me. If we lose, it's my fault. So the race gets underway, and then I could convince them that I need to run the last leg, and I get that baton and I start running. And as I'm running, I'm seeing that there's someone right here. Can't really make them out, but I can see there is someone just just here. And I run and I run. And the faster I run, this guy is just sticking to me. I cannot get rid of this guy. And eventually I crossed the line and we won. And as I turned around, there's no one. I was running away from my own shadow. That's an interesting story. Maybe you're also running away from your own shadow. Now here's the thing. For 100 meters you can do that. And actually I was still in 10 or 11 years old, so it was actually only 80 meters. We were doing 4 by 800, 80 meters. You can run away from your own shadow for 80 meters. You can run away for a day or a week or a month. But eventually that shadow is going to catch up to you. That shadow is going to overtake you. So are you eating too much or too little? Are you struggling with your sleep? Struggling to fall asleep or struggling to stay asleep? Do you have low energy or no energy? You find yourself pulling away from people. You can be sitting here right now. You could have been smiling while you were drinking coffee earlier. But if you're honest, you're actually pulling away. So you don't want people to see what's really going on inside. Is there a feeling of helplessness, hopelessness, despair? Are you experiencing severe mood swings? Are there some issues cropping up with relationships? Are there some memories that you just can't deal with? I'm going to speak to parents for a moment here. I don't know what is happening in your church and in your community, but where I'm coming from, 50 to 80% on any given Sunday, prayer request in the children's church, I'm being bullied at school. How do we deal with that? How do we speak to a child? How do we encourage them through that? What does a bully do? Bully breaks you down mentally, emotionally. Tells you that you're not good enough. Okay, this next part I'll do. Okay, so I drew you a little bit of a diagram. It's not scientific, it's just to try and illustrate it. So on this side we have mental health, and on this side we have time. It can be a week, maybe a week works nice in the illustration. So maybe we are here Sunday, and we're feeling okay-ish. We're at church, music was good, coffee was okay, preacher hasn't bored us too much yet, we're doing okay. But then we get to this afternoon and we realize, but yeah, it's time to go back to work. I don't really want to go back to work. And then we struggle through that, and maybe here by Thursday we think, yeah, we're gonna make it. And then by maybe Friday afternoon we hit a little bit of a bottom. Because my boss has just yelled at me again, or I messed up again at work or at school or whatever the case might be. And this is a fairly normal pattern. There are some ups and there are some downs in my life. But what if the following happens? What if we allow these shadows in our lives to begin to press us down? Now suddenly you see that there's this one space where I'm actually bottoming out. Not because anything has changed. I still have the normal rhythm of life where there's ups and there's downs, which is normal. But I'm not able to run away from the shadow anymore. And what if that shadow becomes a bit heavier? And now suddenly I'm bottoming out three times, not just the once. And there's one place where I'm actually pretty deep in the red. Because I tried to run away from the shadow, and I couldn't run away from it. And just to make it worse, what if we begin to live in that space? Where we're more in the red than we are in the green. When it comes to our emotions and when it comes Thank you, you can take over for us again. So what if I begin to deal with this somehow? So there's this thing called the better than average effect or phenomenon, and it works something like this. When they approach a group, for example, like this, and they ask them a question, and let's say the question is out of 10. So 5 is average. And let's say the question is, how many of you think you are an above average driver? Most of us will say, yes, we are an above average driver. But that's impossible. Mathematically, that is impossible. Someone has to be a bad driver and someone has to be a good driver for you to be an average driver. And if everyone here is average, then there's no bad drivers, then you can't be an average driver. And by the way, I'm speaking to bikers, and I know you think you are the best drivers in the world. So I was driving actually yesterday to Joburg. I went up to Midrand, and somewhere there on the highway, a friendly biker waved at me, but not with this finger. And I still don't know what I did right or wrong. I presume that he's also a better than average driver. So they did a couple of these experiments, and then they found, but this is a strange thing. Maybe it's just because of the way, maybe it's because we're all in church that we think we are better than average. Or maybe it's a certain economic class or a social class. So they went to prison. They said, let's go try this in prison. And they asked the prisoners a very specific question. A question, do you think that you are a compassionate person? Do you think that you're a good person? The type of questions that in a prison context you would expect them to say, no, I'm not. And guess what? They all thought they were above average. Guess what? I think I'm above average, and you think you're above average. We all think we're above average. And when it comes to our mental health, we don't realize that we can actually be in trouble. Here's some statistics from the Health World Organization, 2001. Mental disorders affects 1 in 4 people worldwide. 1 in 4. In the U.S., 2020, mental health are common in the U.S. Nearly 1 in 5 U.S. adults live with a mental illness. Not a bad health day, not a bad mental health day, an actual mental health illness that can be diagnosed. 1 in 5. So it works like this. Quickly look at the 4 or 5 people around you. People you can touch, one of them, might be you, is in trouble. You see, but the above average effect says, no, that's not me. Above average effect says the following, I'll make it. No matter what that crazy preacher from Vanderbijl Park says, I'll make it. Doesn't matter if the 4 and 5 other guys don't make it, I will make it. It's interesting, in the U.S., and again we use them because they just keep statistics a little bit better than us, 50% of adults in the U.S. sometime in their life would be diagnosed with a mental health illness. 50%. It's interesting that in the U.S., mental health affects women more than men. The statistics say that women have lower mental health than men. Maybe it's because they are more open to talk about it. Maybe it is because women carry maybe a stronger or a harder burden than men think or realize. I think that the thing that got to me is in the U.S., and I think it's applicable in South Africa as well, the group that has the worst mental health is between 18 and 25, young people. Young people are struggling, not just in South Africa, but everywhere. Not just in school with the bullies. They are struggling everywhere. Just think about this for a moment. If you are around your Braaivleis fry on a Saturday afternoon, or you're visiting with some friends, and you just keep telling your friends how bad this week was, and maybe you talk about the news and everything that happened and how this country is going down the drain. Think about it like this for a moment. If you are 65 years old today and you've retired and you've got your pension and everything is sorted, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if the country goes down the tube. You'll make it. You've got to hang in for another 15 or 20 years. You've got enough money in the bank, you'll make it. But if you're 18 years old, and the only thing that you are hearing is there's no future, nothing's going to work out, there's no opportunities, can you imagine the pressure that person is experiencing? So friends, let's be honest with each other. We've been through a tough couple of years. So my personal story is in 2019, a bridge collapsed on a couple of kids at a school. My kids were in that school. My kids saw it. So my mess started a year early before your mess. Then out of that, we walked into COVID. Then we just got through COVID, then we walked into, is it now World War III or is it not World War III yet? And petrol prices and inflation and interest rates. And can I tell you that there are days that I struggle? There are days that I've got to dig deep. I know the answers, but knowing the answers doesn't always help. Because why? Because I am a multifaceted being. We used to say this when I grew up in church. We used to say, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Maybe you've heard that story. But I am a multifaceted being. It works like this. If your tooth aches, suddenly you're very upset and very angry and very short-tempered. Why? It's got nothing to do with your emotions. It's a physical pain. But it's so closely related that it's very difficult to distinguish. So we have this picture. I don't know if it's up. You can put up the next one. Just to say soul, body, spirit. You see, and David writes the following in Psalm 32. He says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. In Psalm 32, he's writing about the fact that he sinned and he didn't confess that sin to God. He tried to stick it out. And while he was in that space of not being forgiven and the guilt upon him, he says, the problem was not so much that I was sad or upset or anything like that. My bones wasted away. And for those of you who are not good with medicine, bones have got nothing to do with your emotions. They are the things inside here, your physical body. And the things that happens in my emotions will affect my body and it will affect my spirit. So if you go to a doctor for a physical ailment, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but I think it's about 60, 70% of all physical ailments, they will give you a tablet to calm your nerves. Why? Because even though the doctor can't pinpoint it, they know that there's a correlation between what's happening in my heart and what's happening in my body. Friends, we're sitting in church. What's happening in your heart and what's happening in your body will also affect your spirit. It becomes a bit more difficult to sing your praises to God if there is pressure on your life. So when we sang that song, He's the Waymaker, He's the Promise Keeper, you know what we were actually doing? We were reminding ourselves of the fact that He has got the ability to bring this breakthrough. We were reminding ourselves, we were saying like David, oh soul, why are you so downcast? Yet I will praise God. And that's the beauty and the wonder of church. So when it comes to multi-health, it's a multidisciplinary process. We're in church, so I'm going to do the church part. But can I please say the following to you? If you need to go see your GP on Monday, go see him. Make the appointment. If you need to go see a mental health professional, go do that. There was a space towards the end of COVID, where really for me as a pastor, it was just, I couldn't take it anymore. Really. I had to go see someone. And it helped. It was good. I encourage you to do the same. See, for some reason, there's a stigma surrounding it. If I were to break my bone, you're bikers, so many of you probably break bones quite a lot. But if you, what happens when you break your bone, your leg or your arm? You put a cast on it. And then what happens is people will come and write funny stories on that cast for you. Write names. Maybe more of your children. Why do that? It's a funny thing. When you break your physical bone, people will actually celebrate that. They'll write on the cast. They'll rejoice with you. They'll make funny jokes about it. Why, when you are broken inside, can't we also celebrate that? Why can't we have people come around you? And just as you would write your name or an encouraging message on that cast, why can't we come around that person with a broken heart and say, we're going to be with you. We're going to journey with you. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Why don't you pick up the phone and call your pastor? Say, Pastor, there was a crazy guy on Sunday and he said I should give you a call. I'm struggling. I put up a brave face and I smile and I try and hide it from everyone around me, but I'm actually struggling. Things are just getting to be a bit too much. Why don't you chat to your cell leader? If your spouse is in a better place than you, your spouse. Children and parents, family member. Why don't you just begin to chat to someone? Why don't you get a good book? If you don't know where to start, this is one you can really get. You can get it on Amazon, Google it and get it. It says, Are You Really Okay? There are books out there that you can read. It's a multidisciplinary process. Go see your GP, speak to your wife, speak to your pastor, get a book, get into the Word of God, maybe put on a different lens, and when you sing the songs on a Sunday, maybe just look through a different lens and see what you are actually singing. But here's the thing, the church answered, Jesus paid the full price. And when Jesus died, He didn't die just for your spirit. He died for your body, soul, and spirit. When He says God loved the world so much, He loved your body, and He loved your emotions, and He loved your spirit. And He died for all of you. In Isaiah 53 verse 10, well-known verse, it says, But He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Now, there's one of two ways that guys would interpret that. The one way would be to say that the writer is just saying the same thing again in a slightly different way to emphasize it. And that's a well-known way of writing in the Bible. So maybe that is true. Maybe we can also look at it slightly differently and we can say, but He was crushed for our iniquities. Iniquity speaks of our sin. It speaks of our spirit being separated from God. He was crushed for our spirit. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. Peace is an emotion. It's something that I experience in my soul. Jesus was crushed for your soul. And He says, by His wounds we are healed. And it's a verse that we would use when we pray for sick people. And Peter uses the same verse when he writes, says, by His stripes we were healed. Jesus died by His wounds. He died for your physical body. And Jesus, when He wants to come and redeem us, when He saves us, it is a body, soul, and spirit salvation. Can I ask you this morning to allow Him to bring His miracle-working power also into the area of your soul. So I want to tell you about Elijah, a guy we know fairly well from the Bible. Elijah is one of two guys who never died. Imagine that. Of all the billions of people who have ever lived, there's two guys who never died. They went straight to heaven. One of them is Elijah. So we read a well-known story in 2 Kings. They were walking along and there were chariots of fire. And it says, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. He never died. God literally came down in the chariot of fire, picked him up, and they went up to heaven. Sounds pretty amazing. The other guy who never died is Enoch. He's a pretty strange guy. We don't read much about him or know much about him, but the way the word puts it is incredible. It says, Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more because God just took him away. And some preachers will make the following joke, and it says, he was with God more than he was with his wife. So God just said, well, let's just take you up to be with me because you spend time with me and you're with me and you're connected with me. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I qualify for that one. I've messed up too much in my life. It pretty much sounds like Enoch had a perfect life and he was perfect. And God just said, well, you're perfect and you spend more time with me than you spend with the people on earth. Why don't you just come live with me permanently? I think I'm more the Elijah kind of guy. So read the following. It said Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. Sounds like he's not having a very good day. It says, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came to a broom bush and he sat down under it and he prayed with all his might that he might die. And he says the following, I have had enough. Maybe that's a prayer that you've prayed. I've prayed that prayer. God, I've had enough. I'm not sure if I can do this again tomorrow. It's Sunday and I have to go back to work or I have to go back to school or I have to face that person again. I just don't know if I can do it again. I have had enough. And he said to the Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. He's having a pretty bad mental health day. So Enoch had it all together. He was perfect. This is the part where I need to chip in again. Elijah had a bad mental health day. Both made it. So can you. Friend, you can make it. If you've prayed the prayer, I've had enough. God forbid if you've prayed the prayer, God take my life. You can make it. You can make it. That's the reason why Jesus came. It's the reason why he died. So let's journey through Elijah. And what happened to him? So just to recap the story, he has had the most incredible victory. It's interesting that sometimes our bad mental health starts in a victory. He conquers the Baal prophets. Remember the story? They pour out the water and the fire actually consumes the water. We should think that the next day he would be on cloud nine. The next day he is afraid and he's scared and he runs for his life and he says, I've had enough. Sometimes the battles that we need to face, even though they result in a victory, years before that or months before that, there is a battle. And that leaves some scars on us. So let's read a couple of verses in 1 Kings 19. It says, then he lay down under a bush and he fell asleep. Friends, sleep is a gift from God. Sleep is a gift from God. One of the signs that we are struggling is that we can't sleep well. Maybe Maybe just start by saying, God, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to just lie down on the bed for a while and close my eyes. I'm going to try and rest. Some practical advice. Secondly, it says all at once an angel touched him. You see, in the midst of your deepest struggle and of your darkest place, God is always there. He's never far away. What is an angel? An angel is a ministering spirit sent to speak to us and minister to us. And when Jesus was struggling, angels came to minister to him. When Elijah was struggling, the angels came to minister to him. God is never far away. Then the angel comes to him and the angel says to him, get up and eat. Get up and eat. It's physical food. But you'll see in a moment it's more than physical food. Because it says he eats and then later, and I'm running ahead of myself, he walks for 40 days because of the strength that he got from this food. What was his issue? Was he physically tired? No. He was emotionally broken and drained. And I think this is more than physical food that the angel brings to him. But here's the kicker. It says, get up and eat. Then he says, he looked around and there by his head were some bread baked over coals and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank. And if we read over that, doesn't sound too impressive. But let's just try and unpack this for a moment. How many of you like a freshly baked piece of bread? Put up your hand. You're in church, don't lie. Okay, you know what a roosterkoek is? That's even better than a piece of bread. This is what God made for him, a roosterkoek. But here's the kicker. Listen to what it says. He says, he looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals. So there was a fire right by his head. And God or the angel, whoever was down there, was baking this roosterkoek right by his head. Now here's the question. How could he not smell it? How could he not know that that which he needed for sustenance was right there with him? You know what? That's unfortunately what happens when we get into a bad mental health space. We can't see that right next to us is a person who wants to help us, who wants to love us, who wants to support us. A friend at church, the pastor, the cell leader. We miss the opportunities that is right there by our head. So he gets up and he eats. And then he lays down again and he sleeps again. Looks like sleep is an important part of restoring my mental health. And again, it's a physiological thing. If you go speak to your doctor on Monday, he'll tell you that if you don't get enough sleep, your brain can't process, it can't get rid of the toxins, and you're going to get into a bad space. It's actually quite interesting. You know you can die from not sleeping. You can die from not sleeping. Why? Because your body needs that. It physically needs that. It's interesting that it starts by him falling asleep, the angel coming to provide whatever he needs to sustain him, and then he lies down and he sleeps again. Continues, and it says, and the angel of the Lord came back a second time. I love that. God will always come again. God will always come again. It says, and he touched him and he said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. You're not going to make it, friend. But here's some food again. Here's something more that you need. So he got up and he ate and he drank. And then the part I ran ahead about earlier, it says, strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb. And it says, the mountain of God. And then the rest of the story plays out that we know so well from Children's Church. The part where God wants to speak to him. And then there's the fire and the earthquake and the wind. And God is there in the gentle whisper and God speaks to him. So let's zoom back for a moment. Incredible victory, but the scars and the battle was just too heavy. And he drops down. He says, I can't take it anymore. God comes and God strengthens him. God gives him the strength to get to where? To the place where he can hear God's voice again. And sometimes we sit in church and the preacher gets all excited and you think to yourself, what's wrong with this guy? Does he really believe that? Is that really true? Will it really work for me? Because I'm just not hearing God's voice. Maybe today is the day where you say, but I just need to look inside again and acknowledge that there are some burdens that I need to lay down. Maybe we can ask the worship team to come up, and if they can do that song for us, lay your burdens down again. Maybe there's a space where I just need to be stirred again and encouraged again to believe that God is the way maker. He's got the ability to wipe away the tears and get me to a place where I can journey. So why don't you stop running from your shadows this morning? Why don't you have a conversation with yourself and say to yourself this morning, I'm going to acknowledge, maybe not I'm brave enough to tell my friend or my spouse or my pastor, but I'm going to tell God this morning, God, I'm not in a good space. I'm going to tell one more story. I'll be turning 50 in a couple of months, beginning of January. I don't know if that's good or bad. I still haven't figured that out. 40 was fine. 50 is a bit of a bigger wrestle for me. One of the questions I'm beginning to ask myself is, why are people fine when they are 20 and 30 and 40, and somewhere when they're 50 or 60, life just begins to fall apart for some reason? And I'm in that space, so I'm asking that question to myself. And I think part of the answer is that when I was 20 years old, something happened. And I tried to run away from the shadow. Maybe I could do it for 10 years. And then it was 30, and then something else happened. And there was a new pressure. Remember the graph I showed you, and this pressure is that just keep pushing everything down. Till I get to a space where I'm barely surviving. I'm barely making it. Friends, Jesus did not die so that you can just make it. He came to set you free. He came to bring you life, and he came to bring you life in abundance. But just as you had to confess your sin and say, Jesus, I am a sinner. Would you set me free? Would you wash me clean with your blood? Would you make me your child again? To deal with a spiritual issue, you do the same thing with your emotions, with your mental health, with the burdens and with the stresses of life. And as we sing this song, I think I'll pray before that and then we'll sing the song. Why don't you say, God, today's the day. But I want to just bring some of these things before you. And God, I honestly don't even know if you can help me. It's okay if you say that to God. He doesn't fall off his throne if you doubt him. He stays on his throne. God, but would you come and help me? I don't feel like Enoch. I don't feel if I'm going to make it. But I can associate with Elijah. So let's pray together. Let's close our eyes and then the worship team can lead us in closing. Father, today we want to pray the prayer of Elijah that says, I've had enough. Father, I've actually been lying not just to my friends and my family and my spouse, my children and my friends at church, but I've been lying to myself. I've been trying to ignore this and just push through it. Lord, but whatever my history and my past, the simple truth is that there are some burdens and there are some issues. Lord, I want to bring those burdens to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you were crushed so that I could experience peace. You were broken. Your body was torn apart, so that you would also come and die for my emotions, for my mental health. Father, I pray for everyone here, and I include myself. Pray that you give us the grace to find the help that we need. Thank you that you have instituted church here on earth, a space, a safe space, where we can find help, where we can speak to someone, where we can have a friend come alongside us and carry our burdens with us. So, Father, I pray for two groups in this church. The first group is those who are burden bearers, those who are actually doing okay. I pray, Father, that you would raise them up to see the hurt. Give them ears to discern the "I've had enough" prayers, and to come alongside those people to carry them and to encourage them and to say, "Just right here by your head is a nice roaster cook. Why don't you get up and eat? God has got the answers. And we can find you the help that you need." And then for the second group, those who are struggling, Father, would you help us who are struggling? You give us the grace, even in this moment, to acknowledge that we need you in the area of our emotions, of our mental health, of our soul. We want to say that we prosper in all areas just as we prosper in our souls. And we acknowledge that you died for that, Jesus. Would you come and help us as we lay down our burdens? Thank you.